Micah chapter number 4. I'll give you an overview of the book. We are, of course, taking one book of the Old Testament every Wednesday night, and just giving you an overview and then a little bit of background, placing it on the timeline of history, and then teaching a little bit from that. Micah contains in chapter 4 some wonderful truths concerning the millennial reign. And so that's what we're going to focus on as far as our one great truth. We're going to give you some background, but kind of an interesting time. We've mentioned the millennial reign. That means the thousand-year reign. Where is that on the timeline of prophecy? Where is that on the timeline of God's plan? Who will be involved with it? What will happen? We'll teach those things tonight. Micah chapter 4. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible if you're able to. Micah 4 verse 1. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful time and Lord, in your plan, and dear God, for our opportunity to be there and participate in it. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll teach us many wonderful things about the millennial reign tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Micah is the 33rd book of the Bible. It's 7 chapters long, 105 verses, 3,153 words, 20 commands, a lot of questions, 23 questions in 7 chapters, 2 promises, 32 verses of unfulfilled prophecy, 91 verses of fulfilled prophecy. If you look for our memorization verse, I love this verse. So if you look over chapter 6, and if you will, look at verse number 8, what a beautiful verse. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Well, that'd be a good sermon right there. How about that? I almost decided just preach on our key verse tonight. And well, what is it, preacher? I just don't understand. What is it that God wants? Well, here you go. Here's a pretty good summarization. You know what he says? Do right. Just do right. You know how many times in the last several weeks I've just thought to myself, why don't they just do right? Okay, there's the right thing to do. And by the way, right is not determined by what's in your opinion or my opinion. Right and wrong is determined by the scriptures. And so the Bible teaches us what's right and teaches us what's wrong. Folks, listen to me. We try to make this Christian life like it's some big complicated thing. It's not. Okay, do right. Yeah, but I don't feel, I'm so sick of hearing about people's feelings. I could care less. Excuse me. I could care less. You're going to make every decision in your life based on how you feel, then you're going to be a mess. You're going to be a train wreck. I mean, you're going to go from destruction to destruction. What are you talking about? Do right. Do right. And so that's what he says. Do justly. How about this? I like this. And to love mercy. You know, folks, in all of your dealings with other people, you ought to love the opportunity to show mercy. I ought to love the opportunity to show mercy. I suppose if there's an area where I've received some criticism, and I'm not saying that all criticism's unfair. I'm certainly not perfect. But I've heard people say, preacher, you just go too far with people. You know what? Some people are just making a fool out of you. Well, I'd rather go too far with them than not far enough. I just would. At the end of the day, you know what I want to, listen, folks, I still got to sleep nights. All right. And I want to, listen, I'm not going to win everything, and we're not always going to end up with people doing the right thing. But I dare say, I don't think there's hardly anybody that's been under this ministry that could turn around if they've decided to do wrong and destroy their life and point a finger at accusation of the preacher and say, well, he just wasn't merciful. And oftentimes I've showed mercy upon mercy upon mercy upon mercy to the point of being taken advantage of. But you know what? Isn't that what the Bible says? By the way, has God kind of showed you that same level of mercy? Hey, preacher, why are you inclined to do that? Because I've got a God that I go to every single day of my life. And you know what the first thing that I've got to say to him? Forgive me. How about that, folks? How about that? You know, why don't we just say, all right, I mean, do you want to get to a point in time where you show up at the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness and God say, I'm sorry, man, I'm just tired of you making a fool out of me. I forgave you the last 365 days. I'm done with it. Aren't you glad God's mercy is everlasting? Amen. Everlasting. And so, folks, listen to me. I understand we got to stand for truth. I get it. There comes a point in time where, you know what, you just have to say, I've shown as much mercy, and you know what, we're going to do that. We got to do right. We got to stand for truth. But I always want to be able to go say, you know what, in dealing with that person, I loved mercy. I loved mercy. And then that last one, how about this? Walk humbly with thy God. There's a sermon. And I guess I did kind of preach it. Amen. Who's the author? The author is Micah. And he is from Morashite, which is a city southwest of Jerusalem. This means that Micah was from the southern kingdom of Israel, made up of two kingdoms, Judah and Benjamin. But he was used to prophesy primarily against Samaria. Now, he also prophesies against Jerusalem, but primarily against Samaria. Now, where's Samaria? Preacher, where's that? Well, remember, we've got the nation of Israel split. 10 nations, northern kingdom, 2 nations, southern kingdom. Guess where Jerusalem is? It's in the southern kingdom. Guess what the 10 northern kingdoms don't want to do anymore? Recognize Jerusalem as the capital. So let's make our own capital. And by the way, the capital they chose is Samaria. And by the way, God was upset about that. And it did not become a place where God was worshipped. Matter of fact, when after Israel split in the Civil War, 10 northern kingdoms rejected Jerusalem as their capital. They chose Samaria. The city was originally built by Omri, king of Israel, and was and became the seat of idolatry and false worship. It was later made famous, or maybe we should say infamous, by Ahab and Jezebel, who built a temple to Baal there. So Samaria was, when they turned their back on Jerusalem, they turned their back on God, they chose themselves a capital instead of the one God chose, and because of that, it became a place of false worship. City set, by the way, if you go to the location, from what I read, very lovely location, but today, if you go there, it lies in ruins, bearing mute testimony to the accuracy of Micah's prophecy. And so that's what his job was. The book's title and its meaning, of course, it's named after the prophet Micah. Micah means who is like, question, who is like Jah or who is like Jehovah? That's kind of a neat name. Who is like Jehovah? The theme, Micah was another prophet sent to Israel to warn of upcoming judgment. I know, folks, this is redundant, but I got to thinking about this. Watch this. Okay, you say, preacher, we're kind of getting into this where every week it's another prophet warning to get about it. All right, now I want you to stop and let's analyze that for a minute, all right? Major prophets, minor prophets. Take a look at where those start and where those finish in the Bible and just do one of these and hold it up one of these days. All right, if God took that much of his word and said, what I'm going to try to teach you with this much of the Bible is this. If you continue in sin, despite my warnings, despite my mercy, sooner or later, you're going into captivity. If there's that much of the Bible, you say, preacher, but it's kind of redundant. In other words, God wanted it repeated over and over and over and over and over and over. Hopefully that we'll learn something. Remember, Israel was set as an example to us. And so that's why when you get to Micah 6, you got that verse. What does the Lord require of thee? How about this? Do justly. How about this? Love mercy. How about this? Walk humbly with thy God. Hey, some of you that don't have a life verse, that'd be a good one. I mean, you know, that would, let me just put it on out there as a candidate. You know what? If you just say, preacher, it seems so complicated. No, then go back to one verse. Do right. By the way, when other people don't do right, Love mercy. Don't be a Pharisee when you become doing by the doing of right. And by the way, just learn to walk humbly with thy God. Well, that's going to put you in a pretty good place there. And so just that thought there, yes, it is. Micah's another prophet sent to Israel to warn of upcoming judgment. His warnings are directed mainly at Samaria and the northern kingdom, but Jerusalem also is included in his prophecy. Quick outline of the book, chapter 1 and 2, God's case against Israel. Then chapter 3, the coming judgment. And then number 4, chapter 4, we have this chapter that mostly describes the thousand-year reign of Christ, Messiah's future kingdom. And then in chapter 5, by the way, are you there? I think I moved away. Chapter 5, look there. Since it's just the Christmas holiday season, let's go ahead and look at chapter 5 and verse 2. There's a part of this chapter that talks about the birth and the rejection of the Messiah. And of course, when those wise men showed up in Jerusalem, you know what Herod said? Study. Look at the prophets. Find out what's the scripture say. Where's this Messiah going to be born? How about this verse? Verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. Boy, they came out after studying the scriptures and said, right here, King, this is where he's going to be born at. And so, you know what? They headed towards Bethlehem, and boom, the star reappeared. And hey, we're on the right track, and here we go. And so there it is. Let's see. B.C., what's your Bible say? 710 years before the birth of Christ. God uses an Old Testament prophet to pinpoint the location of where the Christ child would be born. And then chapters 6 and 7, we have a restating of the case against Israel. So it opens up the first two chapters with God's case against Israel. The last two chapters, God's case against Israel, somewhat restated with some other things in there as well. And so that's the outline of the book. All right, main characters, God, Micah, and the nation of Israel. It's just another prophet speaking for God, warning them, turn from your sins, and God will show mercy, or fail to repent, be taken into captivity. Now, I would like to focus on chapter number 4. And I was just fascinated as I read Micah. I kept going back to chapter 4 and saying, this just gives us so much interesting information concerning what we call the millennial reign of Christ. Tonight, I'm going to focus our study on that subject, the millennial reign of Christ. Millennial means 1,000. So we're talking about 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, let's first of all locate this 1,000 years on the prophecy timeline, okay? So when is this going to occur? Has it already occurred? Is it still down the road for us? What is the millennial reign? And when is it going to occur? All right, Jesus, we're celebrating him coming to this earth. We've got the Old Testament, and then Jesus comes. And then we have the life of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Right after that, he commissions the disciples, and we go into what's called the church age. All right, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Guess what? Now you're the light of the world. And I'm going to come back one of these days. Until I do, you be busy spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we've been into the church age for all these years. What's the next thing on the prophecy timeline? It's the rapture of the church. When's that going to happen? No man knows. Nobody knows. The angels in heaven don't know. Only the Father knows. That's what Jesus said. Only the Father knows. And so the time you think not. That's why a lot of people think it's going to be Monday morning when Jesus comes back. I don't know. You get to a certain age, and every morning, it could be any morning, you know. And so it's going to come one of these days, but that's the next thing. Until we're in the church age, and then the rapture happens. And as soon as the rapture happens, folks, and then, by the way, if you're born again, you're going to be taken out of here. And you trust me, that's a good thing. You don't want to be here, all right? Down on earth, 7 years of tribulation period. And so guess what? The world's been griping and complaining about old time religion and the Bible and Christianity and how it's messing everything up. Well, you're going to have a chance to not have to worry about any of that interfering with anything. By the way, let's see how that goes. All right. And for 7 years, the devil's just turned loose. And you know what? He rules and reigns. And by the time he's done, he's just about destroyed everything. And so that's what's happening down here on earth is 7 years of tribulation. What's happening up in heaven simultaneously during those seven years? First of all, folks, the judgment seat of Christ. You know, it's appointed to man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ as born again Christians. Not to decide, have it decided whether we go to heaven or not, but to either be rewarded or suffer a lack or loss of reward depending on our service to the Lord in this matter of stewardship, service, and soul winning. What we did for the Lord Jesus Christ will be rewarded in that day. Then we get to eat. Oh, amen. I like that. And we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all of that's going on. And by the way, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy time, but by the end of it, you know what? You know what? Jesus is going to gather the family around the table. And you know what? We're going to have a time, a celebration, the bride of Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb. And so while we're doing all of that, boy, all this is going on down on earth. And you know what? God sent his angels down, and they're opening seals and blowing trumpets and turning loose all the judgment of Almighty God. And meanwhile, Jesus is up there in the banquet room, you know, enjoying himself. He's letting the B team or the C team, junior varsity, take care of everything going on down here. And finally, when the angel said, boy, you know what? You're not going to believe this. They're gathering in a valley called Armageddon. They said they're going to come destroy you. And he said, yeah, I believe it. I prophesied it. I knew it was going to happen. And Jesus is going to go over to the heavenly stables, and there's going to be a white steed come out, and he's going to climb on that thing, and he's going to say, mount up, boys, mount up, girls, and here we go. We're going for a horse ride, man. And you know what? We're just going to be spectators, you know. He's going to fight the battle, and you know what? All of those God-haters that are gathered in that valley, the Bible says by the time he'll destroy them with the word of his mouth, sharp two-edged sword. And it ain't going to take a tank. There's no nuclear weapons. Just Jesus is going to take care of business. And then he's going to come down to earth, folks. Watch this. Now, this is very interesting. I mean, the millennial reign is really fascinating when you study it. Because we're not talking about all of a sudden he sets up and now we're going into eternity future and there's no more sin and no more testing and no more devil and no more lost people involved. Millennial reign is just really an interesting thing. Now, the main reason that Jesus is going to do this thousand-year reign is because it's been prophesied all the way through the Old Testament that on this earth there would be a day when Jesus would rule and reign. And you know what? For 1,000 years, he's going to do it. Rule and reign. In one place, we'll read this, the Bible talks about him ruling with an iron rod. Now, wait a minute. Why would you have to rule with an iron rod if everybody that you're ruling over wants to do what you say? Now think about that. And so we're going to go over now, if you will, to Revelation chapter 19. Mark your place in Micah because we'll be back there. But we're going to go over to Revelation chapter 19 and kind of set the stage for this. So we have the church age, the rapture, 7 years of tribulation period. And then, of course, while that's going on, the judgment seat of Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb, and the tribulation period will come to an end at the Battle of Armageddon. Earth's Antichrist army is defeated. The beast and false prophet cast alive into the lake of fire. Revelation, where do you read that, preacher? Revelation 19. Let's read. Here Jesus is coming back on the white horse, verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. There it is. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so there it is. He's come. Here's the battle of Armageddon, verse 17. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bound, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. It seemed like a pretty short battle. Boom, the beast was taken. And with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant was slain with the sword. I know, I just kind of picture this. I mean, you can have whatever imagination you have. But it says, and the remnant were slain with the sword. So I see Christ coming, and here's the two leaders. And the next thing you know, they get snatched. They're taken. The Bible says the beast was taken. Snatched. And I think all of the armies watched Jesus with a word. Jerked them from the front of that army, snatched them. Wherever the lake of fire is, it opens up and they're hurled into it. I think right then, if I'm one of the followers, I'm thinking this thought, uh-oh, I done went and chose the wrong side. But that's about all the time they're going to have to think. Because then the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Mercy sakes alive. Isn't that something else? Now, so there we are, folks. The battle of Armageddon's fought, and the beast and the false prophet's been taken care of. What about the devil? Where's the devil at? Okay, chapter 20, verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him. Wait a minute. For how long? 1,000 years. Now think about this, folks. You know that if you know your Bible, you know we're going to read on down here. And at that end of that 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed a while. And by the way, he's not done stirring up trouble. And there's still not some people that are out there that's been reluctant about having to serve Jesus. Now stay with me here, because this is a great truth for us. Watch this. Okay? Jesus Christ himself is going to come down and set up in Jerusalem. He's going to rule this earth for 1,000 years. Now folks, they had 7 years of the devil. How'd that go? I'm going to tell you what they get for the 1,000 years when Jesus is in charge. It's pretty good. It's amazing. And yet, there's still somebody, some peoples out there, matter of fact, a lot of peoples out there that may be going through the motions and may be pretending to be okay with the fact that Jesus is ruling, but down deep, there's still a rebellion, spirit of witchcraft, a bitterness. I don't like these rules. Oh, by the way, booze is all shut down. Okay, all the dance halls are closed. Movie theaters in Hollywood, okay. Everybody's cell phone's been taken from them. That get rid of about 90% of the devil right there out of most people. And all of a sudden, you know, they're sitting there thinking to themselves, well, yeah, we have peace, we have prosperity, we have this, but there's so many rules. Sound familiar? Okay, I mean, Jesus himself. It don't matter if it's Jerry Ross, Pastor, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, rules at the Christian school, or rules for mom and dad. If you've got a heart of rebellion, by the way, this is not just for the kids. How about you, ma'am? Okay, well, I don't like where my husband's draw some of the, I mean, we all got the same problem. By the way, we all got the same problem. We all got the same sin problem. Jesus himself show up. Pass perfect rules, be fair with everybody, and still there's a, the Bible says that when the devil has a chance to go out and recruit people, he'll recruit them as the number of the sands of the sea. After having 1,000 years of Jesus ruling with peace and prosperity and blessing and no war, and after 1,000 years, mankind, so wicked, there's still a group that says, I still don't like the rules. Now, let me just ask you this morning, this evening, what group are you in? Where are you at? Because we're going to see this divided up. And stay with me. This is a great, great study for us, all right? Well, now, let's go back to Micah. See, the devil's been cast there. Jesus sets up his throne, his kingdom. And then we'll get to the end of that. You might want to save that place. I'll probably come back here and finish right there. But Micah chapter number 4. What about this millennial reign, preacher? What's it going to be like? All right, let me say this. Verse number 1. It talks about where Jesus is going to reign. Christ's millennial throne will reside in Jerusalem. And I know this in this verse, Jerusalem's not mentioned by name. Well, we could go to many other prophecies where Jerusalem is, where Christ will reign. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow in unto it. Now think about this, because you're going to see two different things going on here. You see that there's people that are flowing to it, flowing towards it. hey, Jesus came, he won the battle, he beat the devil and the Antichrist and all of the armies that they were able to gather. People that are left over, you know what? Jesus set up shop. He's reigning and ruling. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people that says, let's go. I want to get as close to where that is as possible. But that's not everybody. I mean, read this. It'll be good for us, all right? Jerusalem is where Jesus will reside. Now, verse number 2, we see that Christ's millennial reign will be universal. What's that mean? It means it's going to be worldwide. In 2 Timothy, let me read verse 2, and many nations shall come and say, many nations, entire nations will say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I'm not even sure that means all the people of all the nations are going to go there. I think that there's going to be representatives of some of the nations that come and says, you know what, let's go learn from Jesus how to run a country, how things are supposed to be, how's it supposed to be set up. And you know what? There's going to be a number of people that respond very positively to the fact that Jesus is here. He's ruling. He's reigning. We're going to go to him. We're going to learn his precepts. We're going to learn his laws. We're going to follow them. And so you see that. And by the way, this is universal. Many nations shall come. Jesus is not just going to control one part of the globe. He's going to rule with a rod of iron, and everybody on this planet will be subject to the laws that come from Mount Zion here. Everybody will be accountable. Everybody will be subject to them. Okay? Some gladly. Some with bitterness. Some saying, we want to do what God wants. Some saying, I want to do what I want. Okay? So watch what's happening here, all right? So it will be a universal thing. You say, preacher, how does Jesus in Jerusalem, if that's his throne, rule universally? Stay with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Revelations 20, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they that shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Matthew 25 verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know how Jesus does a universal ruling from Jerusalem? Is there's going to be enlisted many of the saints of God that will be reigning and ruling with him. So I think that there's going to be people that represent Christ that has say and has power and enforces the laws that come from Zion in every single country, in every single city where there is a population, there's somebody enforcing these things. Millennial reign. Why would they have to be enforced? Because we're not at heaven yet. Okay, we're not, sin's still here. We're going to find that out. Okay, the devil's been bound. Okay, and by the way, thank goodness he is. At least his influence isn't in here. But you know what, folks? The devil gets blamed for a lot of things. Way too many things. Hey, the devil's not even on the scene. Okay, devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Okay? And you know what? So yes, he's going to reign with a rod of iron. He's going to see to it that everybody on earth follows. And by the way, what's that going to produce? All right, verse 3, the millennial reign will be marked by peace. Let me read verse 3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. By the way, he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Remember how some of the nations of the earth came to him? What's with these? Okay, why are they afar off? Folks, listen to me. You know how Jesus will reign for this 1,000 years? There will be peace, but there'll be peace through strength. By the way, American politicians could learn something right here. Because we're not into eternity future either. And there's plenty of sin and wickedness in this world. And everybody's wanting peace. But you don't have peace through weakness. There's a reason that most of the leaders in this world have gone to so much of the nonsense and foolishness they've been pulling for the last 8 years. You know why? They aren't scared of who's in the White House. Okay, we got a weakling in the White House. Okay, listen, some of you remember the Iran situation? Remember the hostages? Remember Jimmy Carter keep trying to have meetings and conferences? And then Ronald Reagan got elected. And all of a sudden, just what was it? A day or two before he was sworn in, Iran decided it might be a good time to finally release all these American hostages. You know why? Because he'd already made it plain. You know what? You'll release them or I will erase you from the planet. By the way, that's good for America. Daddies, that's good in the home. Okay? You better figure this thing out. If you've made a God of peace, well, I just want peace. Peace doesn't come through compromise. Peace comes through strength. And you know what? Everything in this nation, I wish I could just ride this little hobby horse for a while. But folks, I'm telling you, everything in this society is teaching men to be weak. I mean, authoritative. If anybody's described as authoritative, that is a negative, bad thing in this society. It is not negative, and it is not a bad thing. Okay? I mean, folks, listen, anything without a head is dead, and anything with two heads is a monster. Okay, so there you go. That's the situation. Am I reading this wrong? He shall judge many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. That means sometimes there's going to be some nations that he's going to, how does he rebuke them afar off? He sends the messages down to the people in charge. And I think the people that are sitting on the thrones, ruling the reign of Christ, are given enough power that they can do things that will, listen, they're afraid not to. And I'm going to back it up with scripture here in just a second, all right? Peace through strength. Revelation 12:5. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Okay, there was a prophecy. When is he ruling all nations with a rod of iron? It's not in eternity future. It didn't happen the first time he came. This is when it happens. Okay? And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword and a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. I want you to understand that this millennial reign isn't heaven. And it's not everybody on the same page. But you know what? It's been prophesied that the one who made this earth and the one who made everyone on this earth would one day reign on this earth and reign over everyone. And for 1,000 years, he's going to prove, if I set up shop, y'all are going to do what I say. But there's a difference between complying and obeying in action and obeying in the heart. Okay? Where you at, kids? Where you at? Where you at, ma'am? Missus? Where you at, teenager? By the way, men, where are we at when it comes to our relationship with God? Well, God says, so I guess I got to do it. That's a horrible attitude. Now, and notice the difference. Man, it's so good, isn't it? I mean, Jesus, I'm not talking about Jerry Ross. You want to pick at me? You want to say I'm flawed? You want to pick at your parents, your dad, your mom? You can find flaws in everybody. Find flaws here. And yet, somebody's still got a heart problem. Because, folks, listen to me. I've watched it. You got to be careful. This spirit of rebellion, don't get into your heart. It is as the sin of witchcraft. God didn't put it there. The devil did. And if it just irks you every time you've got to obey somebody in authority, you got a problem. And if you were alive during the millennial reign, let me tell you which side of things you'd end up on. Now, come on. This is good for us adults, not just a kid's message. What parts of the Bible, what laws, what standards, what rules that you just kind of still under your breath go, that's wrong. Will I do it? Yeah, you may do it. But God sees the heart. Okay, and so isn't this interesting? I think we've got this millennial reign thing where we think it's all, you know, everybody's on the same page. Everybody's doing well, they are on the outside. All right, but that didn't mean that's what's happening on the inside. All right, peace through strength. Now, Christ's millennial reign will be marked by peace, verse 3, but it'll also be marked through prosperity. By the way, peace, not just peace through strength. I got to read this because it's so neat. peace through the repealing of some aspects of the curse of sin from the off the earth. Not all aspects, but I think some. Well, we don't have time to go there. Let me read it to you quick in Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And by the way, when is this happening? Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now wait a minute. He's reproving, and he's judging, he's protecting the poor. You know, there's a lot of people don't like that. They've been taking advantage of the poor for a long time. Now there's somebody to stand up for the poor. They don't want things equal. They want it lopsided. All of a sudden somebody says it's going to be equal. Everybody says they want that till they get it. Most people that are crying for equality don't want equality. Okay, think about that. So he's doing all of this, but notice this. Here it is. What did you talk about? Peace, the repealing of some aspects of the curse of sin from off the earth. The wolf shall also lie down with the lamb. This is a neat time. Okay, how'd the 7 years go when the devil was in charge? Okay, now you get 1,000 years of this. So all of a sudden you got the wolf lying down with the lamb, the leopard lying down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. I mean, how cool is that? Folks, remember a time when you were raising kids and they could jump on their bike and be gone all day and you had to worry about anything? It's going to be that again. Okay, how about that? The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaning child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Okay, this is, okay, are you with me now? We here? This is good. All right. Devil, we'll give it to you for 7 years. Chaos, war. I mean, you know what? Next thing you know, you want rules. I don't like rules. Put the devil in charge. Here's his rule. Take my mark or starve to death. And folks, if you take off the yoke of wood, you're going to take on a yoke of iron. Okay? That just cracks me up, you know. I don't like rules. I'll go serve the devil. He's got harsher rules than God. All right, and so here we go. And so, you know, he had his 7 years. What did he do? Make a mess of it. Jesus comes up, comes down, and you know what he does? He reestablishes the law, and because the law is actually enforced, we have peace. And by the way, then we have, as a result of that, prosperity. All right, look at the next verse, verse number 4. And they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. None shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it, and all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God. Now, isn't that interesting again? Wait a minute. Where are we at again? Millennial reign? Everybody walking. Is that a little G God? So there's still some people that are, oh, by the way, they're ducking and they're hiding. They're sneaking. Deceitful. I know what came out of Zion, and I know what the law of the land is now, and I know what Jesus said, but I'm going to just, I mean, it's still there. Isn't this crazy? I mean, Jesus is in charge. Okay? And we, by this, all people shall walk, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord God, our God. So there's two different groups going on here. Okay? It's not settled. There's an unsettling. Jesus is making everybody stay in line because he's ruling with a rod of iron. He has people positioned so that they can micromanage people's lives. And if anybody breaks the law, you know what? There's a immediate repercussions. There's no nonsense. And by the way, God blesses that environment with peace. There's no war. God blesses that environment. Well, everybody begins to prosper, and everybody's sitting under his vine and under his fig tree. And you know what, folks? Let me tell you something. People have never lived worldwide as good as this time now, and still there's a grumbling. Because we still have to do. I can't wait till I, one of these days, don't have to. Yeah, right. You know, you are so naive. I'll be able to do what I want. Okay. Yeah. Anybody reached that point yet? Anybody in your 70s, you to do everything you want to do? 60s, 50s, 80s, 90s? Kids, look around. Devil's feeding you a bill of goods. Okay? You know what? You don't get to do everything you want to do. And we're not supposed to be put on earth to do what we want to do. We're supposed to do put on earth to do what God wants us to do. Okay, you're just going to change one taskmaster for another one. So think about it, all right? So here God, and this is amazing. 1,000 years, preacher. I knew that part about the wolf laying down with the lamb and all of this and whatever. It's not settled. But prosperity, why? Why is there prosperity? Because the Lord is passing the rules. Because the Lord, look at verse number 2, go back there. What did he do? Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So listen, folks, we have been so tricked into thinking that commands equal oppression. Yet the obedience of God's commands equals prosperity. So God says, listen, folks, I'm taking this whole thing all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and I'm reinstituting the rules, and if you'll just follow them this time, guess what's going to happen? Everybody that follows them, next thing you know, it's like, man, there's no war, there's no conflict, there's no problem, we're prospering, there's no taxes. The government's not stealing 50% or 60% of everything I make. I mean, you know what? Work actually works and is blessed. And you know what? People aren't trying to cheat you everywhere, because if they do, somebody's there and it's fixed. And guess what as a result is? Paradise. Now think about that. 1,000 years of it. And yet. This is amazing to me. We shouldn't be surprised. Jesus comes and actually enforces. Well, no one can make me. If you live in the millennial reign, you'll be made to. But by the way, why do you have to be made to? Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Nothing. Listen, watch this. Let me just give this thought to you. The millennial reign prosperity is available to anyone here today that will voluntarily do what everybody's going to be made to do. I sat just recently trying to help a couple who's in financial ruin. And you know what blurted out of one of their mouths? We should have stopped tithing. We should not have stopped tithing and giving offerings years ago. I told you we shouldn't have. Okay. Okay. Did you get ahead? Did it work? Are you better off? You're a mess. You're in debt. Talking bankruptcy. You know, right now, God said this. This book of the law shall not... Folks, listen to me. The precepts and principles of God's word are not there to steal all of the fun out of life. It's there to help you succeed and prosper in life. But we have Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So let's take all of that, and let's take him and bind him in chains and throw him away for 1,000 years. Okay, let's get the devil out of it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Man, they rush to the mount. Teach us, show us. Okay, we know. Let's go do it now. Man, we're prospering. There's peace. Look, the kids are happy. Everybody's happy. This is great, except for those nations afar off, except for the ones that still have to have a rod to make them. Listen, why don't you surrender, ma'am, sir, young lady, young man? Why don't you surrender your will to Almighty God? Surrender it. Go to this book and say, I'm not going to be made to do this. I want to do this. Why? Because here's the result. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, my goodness sakes. Folks, is it complicated? Is it hard? God's just made this whole thing such a mess. And I mean, good night if you don't have a PhD. No, it's simple. Okay? Listen to me, old man. I'll show you what is good and what the Lord doth require thee. Do right. If I tell you to stay away from something, stay away from it. If I tell you not to do something, don't do it. If I tell you to do something, do it. Follow my precepts. They work. And by the way, there'll be peace. And there'll be prosperity. And there'll be success come into your life. Or you can never get past 7 years old. Or the terrible twos. Where you're still sitting down throwing a tantrum anytime mommy or daddy tries to make you do something. Or the preacher. Or the Christian school teacher. Or the boss at work. Or your husband. Or you could surrender your will. And here's the millennial reign, and you know what? They flood into Jerusalem, and people come from all nations, and they learn from the Lord, and they go back, and they're blessed, and they're prosperous, and there's peace, and there's no conflict. And as much as in a still sin-tainted environment, there is as much heaven on earth as there's ever been. Why? Jesus is ruling. We're learning what he wants us to do and not do. We're obeying it gladly, and we're reaping the benefits of it. Amen. Amen. Christ's millennial reign leads to prosperity. Christ's millennial reign will make the earth's population decide. At some point, it's going to make it decide. Do you want paradise, or do you want paradise lost? Do you want the 1,000 years of what I just gave you, or do you want 7 years when the devil was in charge? And this is the part that just... We'll close with this. How sad. Revelations 20, if you save that, flip it back over. Verse number 7, I'll read it, 7 through 10. Revelation 27. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, verse 8, chapter 20, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog, Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. What in the world? And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. So here they are. Okay, they wouldn't come when they were invited. But now the devil's loose and he finds those ones. By the way, go to a youth conference. Go to any gathering. Go to a Bible college. The little group that's like this find each other. Any youth group, they find each other. I mean, you can bring youth groups that don't even know each other, and they got telepathic abilities. And the rebels of this youth group always find the rebels of this group, and next thing you know, you got a little group of rebels. You know, what group are you going to be a part of? The ones that spend their entire life mad because how dare God make a rule about anything? Or the ones that say, God is 1,000,000,000,000 times wiser than I'll ever be. And he's given me a formula in this book that leads to prosperity and success and peace and blessing. And I would be a fool not to surrender my will for God's word and God's will. And yet here we are. They went up and here they are. Now they're coming. But they're not coming to learn. They've been deceived once more by the devil. By the way, you remember what I taught about temptation. You can't tempt anybody where it's not already in their heart. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to retake this earth. We're tired of Jesus reigning, so we're going to go to his headquarters, and we're going to take him on. It's been 1,000 years since Armageddon. I'm sure we've learned how not to lose. All right? And the devil that deceived, and what's it say? The beloved city and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And God the Father, you know, Jesus took care of it last time. God the Father looks down and says, enough of this. I mean, they're going to come up to Jerusalem and challenge my son. He's come and brought them rules that lead to blessing. Right and wrong. Right is being enforced and established. The poor are being stood up for. People are being blessed. They're prospering. They have peace. And here they come again. And God says, enough. And you know what? I believe this fire, this last fire, scours the earth and clears it and cleans it. And by the way, we're taken out of this earth, and God burns it with a fervent heat. and he remakes a new heaven and a new earth. And now we have eternity future starting. And you know what? I want to read it because it's interesting. And when you go back here to the last chapter, all the way back in Revelation chapter 21 or 22, we've got the new heaven, we've got the new earth, we've got paradise, we've got the river of life, we've got all these messages, all these incredible things. And the last few verses, verse number 8 of Revelation 22, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which had showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto him, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Watch this. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And you know what the millennial reign's all about? Okay, I'm going to come down here and I'm going to fulfill prophecy that says that the creator of the universe will rule and reign on all nations on this earth. I'm going to do it for 1,000 years. And you know what? The filthy are going to gather and find each other, and the unholy is going to gather and find each other. And you know what? If they can be underneath my personal reign and rebel, then let the filthy be filthy still and the unholy be the unholy still. But I think I'll be part of this other group. Why don't we let the righteous be righteous still? You know, I don't serve the Lord because God's standing over me with a stick. I serve the Lord because he loves me and I love him. And I'm wise enough to realize that there's a God in heaven. And if he's got a rule, he's smarter than I am. And he wants what's best for me. And boy, what a way to live. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been given, Lord. So many good things taught and given. What a study. What a study. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us make good choices, right choices, in our opportunity at life here. I pray these things in Jesus' name.